You've chosen the right Christian radio show. Well, there's a reason that we picked that song today, Bozy. So, anyway, two reasons, really. 9909, the release of the entire Beatles catalog and the Beatles rock band game.
Incredible.
And 9/11/09, your big birthday. So, happy birthday.
Thank you. That's Bob Belts. I'm Bo Mitchell, and you've tuned in to You Get the Blessing. We're glad you're listening this morning, whether you're at home, just getting out of bed, driving to church, or just coming in from a wild night on the town and having your last cup of coffee before you go home and go to bed. But it is my birthday, and turning 60 sounded kind of awful, frankly. But then when I saw it in writing on these birthday cards, happy 60th, I thought that even looks worse. But
well, you're a lot older than I am, so, you know. It's nice to see you.
I'm just glad to be.
You'll always be younger than Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger. Just remember that. That should kind of keep you. I'm 65 or 6, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Well, we're going to get to the purpose of this show, which is to introduce you to just wonderful people every week that bless you as you get to know who they are and what they do. But before we introduce our guests today, I just wanted to say to my partner, Bob, here, that Don Reverts is the one who told me in 1967 about a birth that was much more important than the day I was born, September 11th, 1949. And he basically said, this is what the Bible says about when a man or woman makes a choice to receive Christ, and is what the Bible calls born again, a rebirth. So in John 3, it's pretty simple. I was in high school at the time. I'd gone to church, but I'd never heard what they were saying. It seemed complicated to me, but the way someone can become reborn is really, really pretty easy. And you as a theologian, Bob, can explain it in 60 seconds or less, just in case someone's listening that has no clue what we're talking about when we say born-again Christian. We didn't make that term up.
No. And, you know, it's a great story in John 3 because the guy that comes to talk to Jesus at night is really, he's really like maybe the leading religious expert of the day because Jesus refers to him as the teacher of Israel. And yet he's a little bit baffled when Christ says to him that, you need to be born. And really, the word can mean three different things. It can mean again in the sense of like a second time. But it's interesting that that word that's translated again there can also mean from above or a new and sort of a fresh or different way. And really, when we open our lives and ask Christ to come into our life, something new does happen in us from above. And it's a new life that we have, and it is like a new birth. So unfortunately, sometimes the phrase born again has been kind of used as a negative cliche in culture, and yet it's a great, powerful image. And, you know, we all need to have two birthdays. So,
and right out of the mouth of God himself in the form of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So Nicodemus had the right idea when he came and said, hey, how do I get in on the deal?
Yeah, he was, you know, you think about it, this guy was a Pharisee, which meant he was probably, you know, only 5% of the population at the time of Christ belonged to this kind of group called the Pharisees, who had, the word literally means the separated ones, and they had sort of pulled back from the rest of the crowd with the intention of being rigorously obedient to every little, you know, jot and tittle of the law. So in one sense, they're the most religious guys in the country. And then there's a reference there that makes it appear as if he was also a member of the Sanhedrin, which was like the Supreme Court of Israel. So, and again, in Israel, the law of God was the law. So, I mean, Supreme Court. So you've got this guy that is doing everything conceivably right in terms of human effort, and yet Christ has to say to him, you know, if you don't have this experience, you're never even going to see the kingdom of heaven.
Missed the whole thing.
Yeah. So, and the assumption being that he should have known this, because really it's not a new idea. It goes all the way back to the beginning of Genesis, when it's the Spirit of God that, you know, was breathed into man that gave him life, and kind of that life was lost in the fall. And so every one of us gets born dead in a sense. So that's why we need this second experience of opening our lives.
So our friend Joe Williams, pretty good sportscaster himself, radio personality, listens every week. He's out there thinking, now what Bob just said in a very good way is also a country western song that says, he was so heavenly bound, he was no earthly good. So some of those guys had all the right moves, but they missed the whole deal. And all we're saying on this radio program is there's nothing special about Bob Belts or Bo Mitchell except Christ and our experience with Christ. So thank you, Don, for telling me about Christ. Thank you, Marcia and Todd and Paul and Marge and Gary and Jim. Haven't talked to you in a while, but we hear from you folks and your emails and your phone calls and the words you say to us when we see you encourage us to keep doing this show, because there are people that somehow miss what we're here to talk about every week, which is faith in Christ and and wonderful people that, because of their faith in Christ, do wonderful things. So let me introduce our guests, Julie and Tom Kessler, today. Whoops, one more.
Okay, I got to say this before we introduce these guys, because you know who told me this story and introduced me as our great friend Rich Beach, and we don't want to leave Rich out of the equation here, because, you know, he's
told a few thousand about it.
Yeah, yeah. So
anyway, hope you're feeling all right this morning, Rich. So welcome, Julie and Tom.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are going to have to swing that mic back and forth. Okay, let's start with the brains of the outfit here, Julie. Julie, we like, by way of introduction with our guests, just doing a little background and tell us just how you guys met and fell in love, how long you've been married, a little bit about your family.
Well, Tom and I met, we actually grew up in the same hometown in Wisconsin. And our families attended the same church.
Does that mean they were Christian cheeseheads? Is that how that works in Wisconsin?
They were Lutheran.
Okay. Lake Wobegon.
I like Camp Randall Stadium. It's about all I know about.
And we grew up in Cedarburg.
Huh. All right.
So kind of got acquainted through some mutual friends, but didn't get to know each other until we were both in college. And started dating then.
So even in church, you're saying you can notice the beautiful women without kind of being crazy or out of control or inappropriate. Is that the point, Tom?
No question.
And you did notice.
I did, but she was only about 13 at the time.
That's good. And I'm not saying a word right now about Ken and LaFay Roberts.
Okay.
Because those guys are same age, pastors in this town, and good friends of mine. It just seems like the Flay might be a couple years younger. Sorry, Ken. So ended up actually falling in love then and getting married, and off you go.
Yeah, we did get together in college, as Julie mentioned, and got married actually 26 years ago today. So it is our 26th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do we have a gift for them?
Parting gift of some sort?
Nutrigain bar, cereal bar here. That's all we got.
Thank you.
Wow.
Frame it.
So, and we have three children. One is 20 years old. His name is Ben. He goes to college at Baylor down in Texas. We have an 18-year-old Molly who is about to go to college in another 2 weeks to Seattle Pacific University. And then we have Sam, who is a freshman at Arapahoe High School.
Oh, great.
So y'all are still right in the middle of finishing raising these kids, but busy and...
Yeah, we are. We have, we're really proud of our children. They have become, I think, good adults, or at least good people, and we hope that, you know, their future looks bright for them. But we will miss them. We're at the stage of beginning to see them leave the nest. We know that's what we're supposed to do, but it's hard.
Yeah. I think there's a clarity to the way Bob Belts preaches every time he opens his mouth. So if you want to hear Bob preach, come to Highline Community Church just north of the corner of Arapahoe and University. Our services start at roughly
9 and 10:45.
Oh, we got two services. When did that start? Last week?
Just started. Back to
okay.
the
yeah. Because I was the last couple weeks, I've been going to one of my favorite churches, St. Mattress. Y'all ever been there?
Gee.
Yeah, it's good.
No.
That's where Joe Williams goes. I know. Anyway, but we like allowing our guests to say in their own lives, just as clearly as Bob did, how did faith become a part of your life? How old were you? What did it look like? Were you struck by a bolt of lightning, or did it just make sense to you one day, like I was saying earlier, it did to me?
Well, I wish I could say that I knew Jesus from the get-go. Although our family attended church, I really didn't know Jesus. I knew there was a God, but I didn't understand the concept of a relationship with him.
So you would like saying, going to church alone no more makes you a Christian than staying in your garage all night is going to make you a car. So,
that is right.
Thank you
that
for just
right.
playing right into that.
That's right. So it wasn't until I did a Bible study that I kind of got a light. It was kind of a light bulb moment that I realized I was doing a precept study on James and really kind of grasped that although I was a believer, there was something more possible for my life that could make it better, could help me sort through some of the challenges that I had.
Is that Kay Arthur?
Jesus. Yeah.
What did you like about her? Because I love her.
I just liked the fact that I could finally understand the Bible. I had a Bible that was given to me when I was, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I kept it very well protected and dusted it every now and then. I didn't understand that you could actually open it and understand what was written there.
Just kind of a thing to have around.
Yeah, it was sort of a nice thing to have and sort of a rite of passage. But when I grew up.
I bet we got a few listeners who are experiencing
that.
Yeah,
the Bible was something someone else read. There was a special person in the church that got to read the Bible to us. And, you know, folks didn't bring their Bible with them to church because somebody else was going to read it for them. So it was just a different environment than what I got when I came to know Jesus much later in life.
For all the linebackers that are listening and struggle with any kind of learning, I can tell you this. The Bible does seem a lot more difficult to read than the business section or the sports page or Sports Illustrated or sit down and watch a TV set. So it's not as tough as it seems.
Unless you know, I think a lot of guys, too, they pick up a Bible and it might have been laying around for a long time. Maybe it's like a King James that's full of these and thous and genealogies and stuff. And it's really important. I think you used to call the Living Bible the linebacker edition, actually.
Dan Stavely,
that's right. But, you know, a modern translation, you know, a lot of them are, you know, read just like a novel. So that's a big encouragement, too, if you've never tried to read or if you've tried to read the Bible and it just was, you know, this doesn't make any sense.
So I encourage listeners, read the third chapter of John and dial in like Julie did, because it's really a love letter written from God to us. And it does, when that veil's lifted, it's almost amazing how all of a sudden your eyes are open and the windows to your heart are open and you understand it.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you sign up. So you made a commitment to Christ and the Word became alive for you.
That's exactly right.
How about you, Tom? You were a slow learner, or were you there way before her?
I was a much slower learner.
Hey, aren't we all? That's what we do as men.
Yes. I was a reluctant tag-along to church for a number of years. Julie, we lived in Kansas City before we moved to Denver. We moved here about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And we joined a church there, and the pastor was very engaging, was interesting. I loved his sermon and his story, but it never really felt like I owned my faith at all. I was really going because Julie made me go. And
just something you did on Sundays
to be a
good guy or something.
Yeah, and you know, again, so the stories were interesting and entertaining, but I didn't really feel anything.
Where'd you go? I'm just curious because I grew up in Kansas City, so I'm anyway.
It was, what was the name of the church again?
And nobody there is listening, so we can kind of comment.
Yeah, it was, the Church of the Resurrection is a Methodist church in Overland Park.
Yeah, you bet.
You know this church?
I've spoken there, but you know, but not when he was there.
No,
because you were probably speaking
he decided never to go again. Yeah, no, I know it well. Yeah.
So I kind of characterize my journey as one where I was focused almost, I shouldn't say exclusively, but very much focused on success, making a career, trying to earn as much money as I could, controlling everything that I could possibly control. Whether it was my own life or my kids' lives or whatever it might be, and felt that hard work and effort was really going to be the answer to happiness as well as business success. And what happened right before we moved here really changed a lot of that because it happened to be with our youngest son, Sam, who was diagnosed with a degenerative eye disease. And at that point, we had just moved here, lots of different issues in, with health, and I realized that I couldn't control that. I couldn't fix that. I couldn't make it any better because it was happened to be then, you know, God's will. And that really took me out at the knees. And at that point, I said, I've got to find something for me that provides an answer when there is none. And I realized that my focus on this life and being successful and being in control was kind of a real false promise and a false direction. And really, the light bulb went on actually at a sermon at Cherry Hills where I said, oh, my gosh, this is really what I need. Hmm.
So there's thousands of people listening this morning, but there's a man in this car. And he didn't know you were going to say all this. And he's exactly where you were when your son had this problem. And he's got some problems. And you're saying Christ has some answer. But just like you're a head coach of a team, what would you say to that guy right now? Just 30 seconds to move that person off the seat of their car or out of their kind of safe, scared zone and into the faith position that you're now in.
You know, I think that what I would say is something that Bob had talked about earlier, to be born again. As soon as I accepted Christ, it was a huge weight had lifted off of my shoulders. I realized that the purpose of life was to serve him, that he was in control, that I wasn't. And stress went away. I became much happier. I realized why I was really here on this earth and what I was trying to do. And it just changed everything.
So wake up, make yourself available, do what Tom did. Bob, why is this so complicated? Why do people shy away from making this decision and get around to this? Why are there so many people that just neglect this and think, hey, I'm skating on my own here, and I know there's something over here, like Julie talked about, gathering dust on the shelf, but I'm in charge here. Why is that?
I think a lot of people have never had it simply explained to them. You know, I think that being able to sit down with a friend or somebody like Tom or Julie yourself, you know, and someone just said, "Hey, you know, this is how it works." Because I think most people think it is complicated, or nobody's ever really told them, or you know, sometimes when you go to go to church, maybe you know, for years, it's almost like you sort of tune out. You're sitting there, but it might be being said, and you don't, you know, quite hear it. But I think a lot of cases, it's simply that somebody just needs a very, you know, simple explanation. For me, of course, I didn't grow up in a church, so it was all kind of new, and I can remember Rich Beach kind of walking me through the four spiritual laws, which was so simple. You know, God loves you, has a plan for your life, you know, you're not experiencing it because you're separated from him. Christ came to bridge that separation. And if you open your life and ask Christ in, you know, you can begin to experience God's love and plan. I mean, four very simple ways of sort of summarizing, you know, most of the teaching of Christ. And, you know, for me, I needed that simplicity. And I think for a lot of folks, they haven't had an opportunity to hear it in a very simple way.
And what's really exciting is when folks like Julie and Tom, our guests today here on You Get the Blessing, feel a call from God. It's not an idea. It's not a direction. It's deeper than that. And you guys and Oasis Network is that way. So we've got about 20% of the show left to say as fast, as furiously as we can, what Oasis is all about, what you all do, how you started it, and what we need right now, because we're real happy to expose the needs of these great organizations, and yours is the highlight right now. So either one of you talk about Oasis Network.
Well, Oasis Network is a nonprofit organization that serves families that have children with either special needs or chronic illness. We're not condition specific, so we just exist to provide emotional support for them. When you find out that you have a child with something unique, something that's not normal, you find yourself in a different category of people, and you feel very isolated, like we did when we found out that, you know, Sam had an eye condition.
You're just a constant caregiver, aren't you?
Right, right. So, while the doctors can tell you what treatment to do, what therapy or surgery, they can't really tell you where you can find emotional support, and that's what Oasis Network exists to do. And we do that through support groups for men, women, and parents.
Great.
Because we try to help them not by changing their situation. We can't really do that. But we can give them a feeling that they're in a room with folks that understand them, that understand the challenges they have, a path that they really don't really know where they're headed. Just that there are people in the room that care about them and want to help them work through the challenges that they have.
So how did this get organized? Good thinking, good, obviously out of your own need with Sam, but is that how you got involved, and what were some of the steps that got this thing going in the direction it is now?
The Oasis Network was founded by Mary Ellen Patterson in about 4 years ago. Mary Ellen has two children who have a chronic disorder called cystinosis. And so when she discovered that, she was looking for emotional support as well. Because as Julie said, most of these situations is really a 24/7 job to manage, and everyone's life changes fairly dramatically from what was the normal before. And so she started it and began to encourage others to join in some, really just some counseling sessions as to how do they feel, how can they network, what can they teach each other. And so the name Oasis Network, we think, is very appropriate because it does provide a safe haven. It's an oasis for those families who really need that. And it's also a network of people who can help each other kind of work through all of the day-to-day challenges that exist with these types of children.
And you guys are how heavily involved yourselves?
Well, Julie is a director of membership, so she manages all of the programs and does all of the communication with the members. I happen to be on the board. I'm currently the board of director.
So what do we need, money?
We need a couple of things. As any nonprofit can attest, this has been a difficult year for fundraising. There's a couple of things that we need. One is continual support from a financial standpoint.
And how can people get in touch with you and do that?
They can go to the website. There's information there on how they can contribute. We have annual fundraisers that are communicated there as well as elsewhere that they can also contribute through.
What's the address of the site? OasisNetwork.org or where?
It's OasisNetworkColorado.org.
Okay, great.
OasisNetworkColorado.org. I didn't mean to be so blunt there, but I don't like people saying, you know, I'd really like to pick your brain, when what they really need is ask me for
they want to pick your wallet.
Here, you can have it all. But I know you manage that money well and can be trusted with whatever someone would give. So please, you know, think about writing this down. OasisNetworkColorado.org. Come on, folks. Help out. Julie, what else do we need? What dreams we got coming up? What do we want to do? Anything?
Well, you know, we're a Denver-based organization right now. So eventually our dream is to become a nationally available organization and possibly international. So we're looking at ways that we can do that, likely through our website.
Well, you guys are such wonderful folks that this fast we're out of time. So I would just say, if you're listening and you feel lonely or scared about your situation, isolated, desperate as to what to do, get on the computer, look up this website, get to know Julie and Tom Kessler, and know that there are people that have meetings organized you can go to and feel better, I bet, almost immediately. And please do that, folks. Thank you all for being here. You're wonderful people, and you're doing a great work here.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And tell the other board members, keep up the good work. Bob,
Bozy,
thank God I had a birthday, and thank God I had a second birthday. And Don Reivers and Rich Beach, or there's no telling what you may be up to this morning.
Absolutely.
Thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll see you next week right here on KOA. And be blessed this week. That's what God has in store for you. So we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for being with us.